Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. We got a lot to get to. I could fool around and talk about a bunch of silly stuff, but why? When we got football and we got a guy who knows a ton about football and football personnel and has a great podcast. His name is Daniel Jeremiah. You may know the Move the Sticks podcast. DJ, don't have to work on Thanksgiving. Are you early, like lunch eater or evening? Like when do you guys eat?
We are, I believe we are a 1 o'clock meal down at my parents. And then, which is outstanding. But my favorite part of Thanksgiving is then when we kind of take our leftovers and then you get back home in the evening. And it's like that 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock turkey sandwich. That's the highlight of the day for me.
White meat or dark meat?
White meat. Yeah, white meat. I'm not afraid to throw. It sounds kind of weird, but I'm not afraid to throw some mashed potatoes and a little turkey together and to make a sandwich out of it.
There's nothing wrong with that at all. Don't let anybody shame you for that. No shame in that. whatsoever. What there is shame in though is. Now you're not one of these people that separates all your different foods, or do you mush them all? Do you put it all together?
I'm more of a mush. I kind of mush them together. I get some grief from siblings all growing up because I was definitely one that mixed the food groups together. Corn and mashed potatoes, they're kind of meant to be together. I don't separate them.
Well, I also think that the cranberry, however you have cranberry, that only works when it's with something else. It does not work by itself.
Yeah, see, that's the one area where I get off the bus because I'm an anti-cranberry guy, so that doesn't make its way anywhere near my plate.
Anti-Cranite, the one and only Daniel Jeremiah joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Was Jason Garrett the problem?
I don't think he was the problem. I think it was proven that he wasn't the solution. They've got issues with that, with their personnel along their offensive line. We can debate whether Daniel Jones is going to be any good or not. I don't know that he's in a situation to really find out. But we had Keekly on the podcast yesterday or day before, and we were talking about, you know, how you build a team around a young quarterback to give him a chance. And he was looking at it from the defensive perspective, and it was kind of fascinating because he talked about, you know, having a really good interior three along your offensive line and then having a stud, you know, tight end that can give you some easy, you know, easy completions. And I was looking at some of these teams, and you're like, well, geez, the Giants, whoever's playing quarterback there has got no shot. They don't have any of that.
They have no shot. So do you think Daniel Jones can play?
I think he's talented. I think he does have ability. I can't defend the turnovers and the fumbling and some of the decision-making. He's got to own that. But, you know, I still think the guy's pretty young. I think he's got a lot of tools to work with. I think he's in a horrible situation. It's just – There's not many of these examples of guys going to the next place. It's a great theory. Oh, you know, the Ryan Tannehill theory, you go to the next place and then it's all going to work out. Those are rare. Usually you end up going somewhere else and some of those same issues end up creeping up. So, no, I mean, it's not looking great. If you're going to say the trend line on Daniel Jones and what it looks like, it's not trending in the right direction, that's for sure.
Okay, let's go to Seattle. You have a GM that's been there a long time, a head coach been there a long time, a quarterback that's been there a long time. It's not working. What do you do there?
I thought it was a reset button. I've been saying that all year long. This is a team that coming off a year where they had three draft picks, so that's basically going to be a hole in your team building. We didn't get much out of that. And then this next year, they don't have a first-round pick. Your head coach is, I think, the oldest in the league. And you've got a quarterback who still, you know, I think has another three or four really, really good years left and maybe more. I thought this would be an opportunity that they need to go one of two ways. It's we're going to scrap everybody else and keep Russell and then try and get as many picks and kind of start the rebuild process. Hopefully we can get it up while he's still playing good ball, or you really jumpstart this rebuilding process. You trade him for a massive haul of picks. It probably coincides with a new coach and you try and start a new era here in Seattle.
Could you see, we had Middlecoff on earlier and he's big on this. Why not Pete to USC? Does that make any sense to you?
Well, I mean, yeah, you come back there kind of in the short term for a few years and just kind of get it right the ship a little bit. I don't know how you could argue against that. It works so well. I do think it's been so long that I'm not quite so sure that the kids that are coming up in Southern California in high school, that they're quite as familiar with, you know, with Pete. I think that would have had a much bigger impact if it was 5 or 6 years ago. But, no, I mean, compared to where they were, to go back to the only guy who's been able to get it rolling there in the last 40 years, I don't know how you could say that was a bad thing.
I don't think you could say it's a bad thing. It's an interesting idea nonetheless. Dan Jeremiah is our guest. Okay, I guess it's a good thing that the Chargers won, but they did Charger for, like, what is that experience like where you're sitting up there in the booth and you're watching, and they're the better team. The game is essentially over. Give up a block punt, couple of scoring drives, then they go for it on fourth down and just run into the line of scrimmage. So they found a way to win the game, but what was that like? How would you characterize that win for the Chargers?
Yeah, it's a Sunday is what it is, Doug. I mean, I've been fielding this question similar to this, right? And I just keep telling people, like, I've been doing these games for 4 years. This is how the Chargers play. They do not blow people out. They do not get blown out. So even if they're up big, you're bracing for the comeback. If they're down big, you know they're going to come back and make it a game. I think they've had one game this year that they've won by more than a score. They've had one game this year they've lost by more than a score. Last year, I think they only lost one game by more than a score. That was the route with the Patriots. This year, it was the Ravens. I think the only game they have this year where they won by more than a score was the Raiders, which was still a pretty competitive game. I think they won 28-14 or something like that. But yeah, they all come down to this. So, you know, in some ways they've got to figure out a way to put teams away when they have an opportunity. But I think the silver lining is, and you've seen as many of these as I have, that we've seen games like that they aren't able to stop the bleeding. And at least in this one, Herbert was able to get it done at the end to keep them from a real brutal loss.
One of the teams they lost to was the Patriots. It was a competitive game. Now the loss doesn't look as bad. Where are you on the Patriots at this point in the season?
I think they have the best defense in the AFC. So, you know, I think they can ride that defense. I think offensively, you know, they're just kind of, you know, they're being safe with the ball. You're seeing Mac Jones continue to, you know, be efficient. Starting to see some progress with them being a little bit more explosive, but this is a defensive team, and they are they are very, very difficult to move the football against. They've got two guys, like their two safeties, and Adrian Phillips and Kyle Duggar. When I was getting ready for their game against the Atlanta Falcons, they have spent 10% of the snaps at five different positions each. So you think about it as a quarterback trying to figure out where these guys are and what their roles are in each and every down. They have so much that, you know, multiplicity to be able to do so many different things and really, really challenge you. So, you know, it's a defense and a run game. We always talk about those being able to travel when you get in the postseason. I think they're going to be in, they're going to get to the postseason. They're going to be in games. They're going to be in every game. It's just a matter of if they have enough explosiveness when they catch a hot quarterback. That's where my doubts creep in.
No question. No question. That's where it gets really, really interesting. Okay, Kansas City Chiefs do have a great quarterback, and the defense is limited, although Cowboys last week were completely banged up and injured. The Giants aren't any good. The Raiders are a mess. And when they played the Packers, they didn't have Aaron Rodgers, and they were kind of a mess.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Chiefs defense or Chiefs overall now that they've won four in a row?
Well, you know, yeah, all those things are true. It does not take away from the fact that the defense is markedly improved from what we saw earlier in the season. So that's irrefutable. I do not think that this offense is where it's been in the past. Because everybody's saying, are the Chiefs back? And I said, no, I don't think they're necessarily back, because this offense is, you know, outside of that Raiders explosion, has not been producing anywhere near the level that they were producing in previous years with points. So, I don't think that they're totally back from that standpoint. I don't know that they will be back, but I know that defense keeps them in games like that. This team, they're going to be a playoff team. I don't think anybody disputes it. It's just a matter of whether they're going to be a Super Bowl team. They made those two trips. I don't know that this team is as complete as those two Super Bowl trip teams.
What about the Cowboys? Is it merely injuries or something else amiss with this team?
Well, I mean, I don't think you can understate it. I mean, they've got some key guys that they're missing. I tend to think that they're going to be okay. I think Dak came out today and tried to explain the difference between the Broncos and the Chiefs games, and saying that the Chiefs game he was a lot more frustrated with. The Broncos game kind of felt like one that snuck up on him a little bit. But there's just so much talent when they're out there and they're healthy, which they weren't against the Chiefs. I'm still buying on them, Doug. I haven't sold my Cowboys stock yet, assuming they get everybody ready to go and healthy for the stretch run.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Daniel Jeremiah. Three and Out, by the way, is the podcast. It's great. You can see it on the NFL Network. He and Bucky Brooks. And, of course, you see him on the NFL Network. Hear him call Chargers games as well. I look at the Niners now healthy, and I think that's a dangerous wild card team. Look what they did to the Rams. Granted, Jacksonville, okay. But they're just different when they're healthy because they're a little bit like the Rams are kind of built like that. They got to have these star players. Now they got them back. Are you as big into the Niners as I am?
Well, I am big into them, not necessarily because of what they've accomplished recently. You know, I think you kind of look, oh, they've won three of their last four with the Bears, the Rams, and the Jags. So you'd say, okay, the Rams are the only one that would really get any points for on that one. But with Kittle back there healthy and their kind of evolving role of how they're able to use Debo, and getting Ayuk up and running and kind of back to what we thought he was, it's frustrating to me because I'd still like to see him sprinkle in Trey Lance. If this is kind of the formula that you're going to use, why not put the athletic quarterback there and make teams have to worry about him as well? But nonetheless, they're really, really starting to play physical, especially with Kittle back in there playing like he's playing. This is their formula. We talk about it on the podcast all the time. Like, you got to know your formula. And I think the 49ers have kind of gotten back to what their formula is, which is, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo throwing it 18 to 20 times and then putting the ball on the ground and letting your front four defensively dominate the football game.
Yeah. Okay, what about the Rams? Why aren't they better?
Well, I think that the same questions we've had about them for a while are out there, which is how are they going to handle it when they get up against the really, really physical teams? Because those are the ones that they've had their struggles against. We saw it, you know, from the game against the Cardinals, where they got pushed around in that one. Obviously, the Titans did it in a big stage, and then the 49ers. So your three losses are to three punch-you-in-the-face teams. So when you look at their schedule going forward, you know, I think they play the Ravens later in the year. Here it is. Yeah, they play the Ravens and then they play the Niners the last two games of the season. So I think they're gonna be in playoffs. You know, whether or not they can win this division, the Cardinals are in a pretty good spot there. But they're gonna be a postseason team, and we'll know. I think those last two games, Doug, that'll get a chance to get them physically ready to go. We'll find out if they're up for that kind of physical line of scrimmage, street fight, because that's the way the Ravens and the Niners are going to play them.
Yeah, I'll tell you a team that's kind of been sneaky good is the Colts. And maybe it was because they were, you know, they weren't great out of the gate, but Carson Palmer's been efficient with the football, massively improved. And, I mean, obviously you have a guy who has five touchdowns last week. Everybody's going to pay attention to Jonathan Taylor. The defense, you know, they are young. They do have some speed on that defense. Is that the team that we're not talking about in the AFC that we should be?
Well, everybody's talking about them inside the league. I mean, when you look at it, I think, you know, that Ravens game, they had that game completely
had the
in
game
control.
Won. Yes.
And let it get away. And then you look at the Titans game, which was a slugfest. They end up losing that by three. You know, you take those two games, which easily could have been wins, and they would have won, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They'd have won eight games in a row if they finished those two games. So They're better than their 6-5 record. They have one of the best offensive lines in the league. They're one of the rare teams, I think, that you could say is not quarterback dependent at all. Like, whatever Carson Wentz does is gravy. But they're going to, again, beat you up front, run the football. And defensively, they've got a couple stars. You know, when you look at them with Darius Leonard, what he's able to do at the second level. You got DeForest Buckner when he's healthy and rolling. That's a nightmare to deal with up front. And they play really, really hard. That's been kind of their calling card there on defense. So, yeah, I mean, you go and just blast the Buffalo Bills on the road, I don't think you're sneaking up on anybody anymore. Everybody knows what they're all about. And I think you can, you know, to a lesser extent, you can kind of compare what they've done and then what the Eagles have done. And both those teams have just said, you know, forget it. This is who we are. We're going to just try and mash people in the run game. And it seemed to kind of turn around both of their seasons.
Do you think the Eagles stick with Jalen Hurts?
I think that they have, again, using that phrase, kind of knowing their formula, I think they've found a formula that can work for them. And while they have him, you know, not making any money at all as a second-round pick starting quarterback, you can really, really, you know, fortify around him in free agency. And then they've got 3 first-round picks next year, Doug. So, I mean, you could, you know, you can build a quarterback-proof team. And he does a lot with the run game. Yeah, I think they can ride this wave here for the next few years. Then when it comes time to pay him, you'll have a decision to be made. But right now, I think they can afford to keep him in place, and they found a way to win games.
Wow, the next few years. That's interesting. He's the one and only Daniel Jeremiah. DJ, have a happy Thanksgiving. Love what you do. Love when you join us, and thanks so much for being part of the show.
All right, thankful for being on with you, Doug, and even more thankful for your friendship over all these years, man. Happy Thanksgiving.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Look, usually I give out my picks on a Friday. But this will be a little bit different because it is a day in which, you know, we got games tomorrow. We got a bunch of games tomorrow. And then, of course, we have college football games throughout Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Tomorrow is the Egg Bowl, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Friday, you have Boise taking on San Diego State. Boise is actually favored in that game, even though San Diego State 10-1 on the season. You got Iowa taking on Nebraska. Iowa taking on Nebraska. That one, the line is a stunner if you've watched this season. Stunner. Missouri-Arkansas, which they try and tell us is a big rivalry. Colorado-Utah and the Battle of the Carolinas, Carolina-Carolina State. Saturday, got Georgia-Georgia Tech, Ohio State-Michigan. Like, so many good. These games are crazy. So good. Auburn-Alabama, Oregon-Oregon State. Even Penn State, Michigan State is kind of interesting there. So you know what we'll do? Let's get to the picks.
I want winners.
Well, we got them.
Touchdown!
5 NFL, 5 college.
5-on-3, 1-2-3.
It's 5 for 5 with Doug Gottlieb.
Let's go, 5!
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Let's get after it. Nebraska is a point favorite against Iowa. Nebraska's 3-8, 1-7. It's a rivalry game, and as I correctly told you, Nebraska hadn't beaten any of these good teams, but they haven't blown out either. That's why I made you some money with Nebraska, right? Okay, you're welcome there. The problem with that is, like, okay, so they're going to win this game? That's what you're telling me, that Iowa is going to lose. You're a one-point favorite. Like, it was a, I don't see it. I can't, and this, by the way, goes hand-in-hand with just about everybody in sports, but I can't tell you to bet your hard-earned money on Nebraska when they actually hadn't won anything this year, right? That's not craziness, is it? Sure, of course not. That's not craziness. So, first pick is going to be Iowa. Granted, much better at home than they have been on the road. That's any idiot on radio, and I'm one of the idiots on radio, can tell you as such. But to me, that pick is easy. Easy, easy, easy. Give me Iowa. Okay. Ohio State taking on Michigan. Ohio State's dominated Michigan since Jim Harbaugh's been there. And Ohio State looks like they're playing the best football of the year. Man, Chris Olave is a hell of a player. They're better at quarterback. But I know Ohio State just throttled Michigan State 56-7. They scored 59 against Purdue, 66 against Maryland, 52 against Rutgers, 59 against Akron. How did Oregon beat them? In the trenches, right? How has Michigan, they scored 59 in their own rights, beaten Penn State, lost to Michigan State? How have they won all these games? In the trenches. I actually think this matchup fits Michigan well. I don't know if they can win the game. I think it'll be very close. I'm going to take Michigan and those 8 points as of right now. Couple other ones that are interesting to me that I think you can make a little bit of money on. Michigan State taking on Penn State. Michigan State just embarrassed at the hands of Ohio State. Of course, they beat Michigan. They take out a Penn State team who kind of similar to Michigan State. James Franklin coming off getting a huge, huge contract. Look, this is the same Penn State team that lost to Iowa, Illinois, and Ohio State. Granted, you know, they had backup quarterback. Lost to Michigan, 21-17. This one's at Penn State. This one's at Michigan State. Spartans are an underdog, so you can get the money line. Give me Michigan State to win that game. Wisconsin's taking on Minnesota. Minnesota is a 7-point underdog. Have you guys seen what's happened with Wisconsin here? Right. So Wisconsin started off the year 1-3 with the only win over Eastern Michigan. They lost to Penn State by 6, lost to Notre Dame badly, lost to Michigan. They got their confidence together, beating Illinois. They beat Purdue on the road, and it's kind of taken off after that. Then they beat Iowa, beat the skates off of Rutgers, beat Northwestern, and then they survived Nebraska at home. It's a Minnesota team that I do feel like I've seen this Minnesota team play for years, right? Because you saw that first Ohio State game. They lost a close one to Illinois, close one to Iowa. It's a rivalry game. Don't they play for Paul Bunyan's axe? Yeah, they do. I think Minnesota keeps it close. 7 points too many. If you can get a hook in it, if you can get 7 and a hook, you'll be even happier. Give me Minnesota. Why don't you? Give me Minnesota. And the pick of the week. Gosh, this is going to be the kiss of death. I know it. I'm taking Oklahoma State. I haven't seen it from Oklahoma. I understand that oftentimes they find a way to win this game when they shouldn't. But Oklahoma, in terms of really good football, haven't seen it since the day before Halloween when they smoked Texas Tech. But then Texas Tech, of course, was playing with an interim head coach. I think Oklahoma State's better. The over-under is 49.5. I'd probably take the under as well. I think it's a fairly low-scoring game on a beautiful day in Stillwater. Give me the Pokes. Those are the college picks. All right, let's get to the pro picks, shall we? Tomorrow you got Chicago taking on Detroit. Detroit's a 3-point dog. So that means, are they going to win their first game of the year on Thanksgiving against Chicago team that they're two best? You know, you're playing without Khalil Mack. You're all banged up. No, Chicago wins this game. Chicago wins this game. They win it by more than 3. Give me the Bears. I'm going to stay away from the other games on Thursday. The Cowboys, so many injury situations. I know they're better than the Raiders. I don't like the hook on 7 and a hook, but I don't like it enough to where I have to bet on it. So I'll go to the weekend. Cincinnati's a 4.5-point favorite against Pittsburgh. And though Pittsburgh showed a lot of fight and some things that go bump in the night, they're not as good as the Bengals, especially in Cincinnati. I'm going to take the Bengals and the 4.5 points. Home faves. Speaking of home favorites, the New England Patriots welcome in the Tennessee Titans. Titans with a weird year, right? Playing to the level of their competition. And you got Ryan Tannehill coming off a 4-interception game, and now he's playing against an even better defense. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the Texans, that most of that staff, most of that front office, there's some sort of ties to New England. I like New England to win and cover that bad boy. Really do. All right, I got some underdogs for you in the NFL. Indy is a 3-point underdog at home against Tampa Bay. Indy's like the sneaky best team you see. Now, it's really hard to run the football against Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but the defense is not up front what it was to start the year, just dominating people. But I like the idea of Indy here. So give me Indy. And oh yeah, by the way, while you're at it, give me the under. It's 52.5. Give me Indy and the under. All right, a couple more picks. Rams, Packers. We found out today that Aaron Rodgers has a broken toe, but they're at home against a cold weather team. I know they don't have the best offensive linemen. I know they probably won't have Aaron Jones. I think Green Bay, I'm not buying the Rams, and I'm definitely not buying the Rams playing in 35-degree weather. Obviously, Matt Stafford played in this weather, but didn't win, and when he played in Detroit, he was in a dome. I like Green Bay. Last pick of the weekend, San Francisco taking on Minnesota. I've told you I'm big on San Francisco, and then you got the Everson Griffin story, which he played 43 snaps this past weekend. He's not going to play this weekend. Terrible news. And Kirk Cousins was good last week. Don't think he'll be as good this week. I like the San Francisco team as they're coming together. Give me the Niners. Those are the 5 for 5 picks. Let's get you to Isaac Lowenkron.
5 on 3. 1, 2, 3. Five.
There it is. 5 NFL.
Let's go, 5.
5 college. 5 for 5 with Doug Gottlieb.
Boom! Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Isaac's been working over there. I haven't disturbed him because he's been working so hard. So hard. Bet River Sportsbook, by the way, all my lines I get from Bet River Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You must be 21. You must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Of course, as soon as I picked Oklahoma State in the under, I'm reminded by how often that game kind of gets out of hand with just becomes a scoring fest. I do think this game is a little bit different. And of course, I gave you 6 picks in the NFL. That's what happened last week as we end up 3-3, and then we pushed you to 4-3 as we hit the Monday night football game. The Lakers dropped one to the Knicks last night, but they didn't have LeBron James. They'll have LeBron tonight. By the way, give me the Pacers tonight against the LeBron. The Pacers are really playing well since they've gotten healthy in their backcourt. They curb stomped the Chicago Bulls the other night by like 50. But this was Kevin Garnett talking about LeBron James's toughness.
I wanted to see who was made of what. And a lot of people don't know that, you know, LeBron James, he don't say it out loud, but he'll talk back to you. LeBron a real one. You know what I'm saying? He from Akron. You know what I'm saying? If y'all do any research on that, that's not Beverly Hills or no like that. You know what I'm saying? He come from some real.
Okay. I mean, the idea that suddenly because he's from Akron and, you know, he grew up tougher upbringing, that makes him a fighter. I think it's a bit of a stereotype, right? I don't think LeBron James wants to fight anybody, but I also don't think anybody stepped to LeBron James because he's always been. It's one of the things about like fighting big guys is most of those big guys, if they grew up big, they haven't been in fights most of their life because they're just bigger than people. And so nobody challenges them. And Isaiah Stewart's a big dude too. It's not like he's, you know, he was a boxing champ, but Isaiah Stewart obviously has a level of, I don't give a, the word starts with an F and ends with a K that, you know, he has a lot less to lose than LeBron does by getting into a fight. But I don't think judging LeBron like, oh, he's a real one. Like, look, KG was a guy who grew up in South Carolina. Obviously, his senior year, he went to Farragut Academy in Chicago. But, I mean, he was half crazy. But I don't necessarily know if his upbringing is what made him tough or crazy, or just simply acting tough and crazy scared some people off from fighting him. Okay, there's big breaking news in the NFL in regards to a lawsuit. Wait till you hear the numbers. The numbers. We'll get to that. I mean, like, look, my quick takeaway on the Lakers. I don't care about LeBron James popping a guy in the face. You know, Isaiah Stewart when they're boxing. I don't care about any of that. That team needs to figure out how to play. They're not healthy yet. They're still figuring out the rotations. I like what they're doing some with Russell Westbrook here late with Anthony Davis running kind of low side pick and rolls and clearing out space, but people will adjust to it. I don't think they're nearly as good defensively on the perimeter as they were last year, and that's what we told you would happen, but they're still waiting for other pieces to come back. They're just kind of a dysfunctional mess right now, only in that they haven't played together because LeBron's been hurt. Now he's been suspended. They've had other injuries as well. All right. The Rams have settled with the city of St. Louis. Why? I'll tell you next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Ram is redefining what a truck can be, leading in interior design, technology, and overall quality. So if you're buying a truck in the past, good luck. If you're buying a truck today, buy a Ram. Learn more about what Ram has to offer at ramtrucks.com. Let's get to the press.
The press.
Isaac Lowenkron. What do you have, my friend?
Doug, we got a lot of money to talk about. The NFL and Los Angeles Rams owner Stan Kroenke have agreed to pay a $790 million settlement to the city of St. Louis to settle a lawsuit over the Rams' move. So that's why the hot dogs at SoFi Stadium cost so much. Back in 2017, St. Louis filed a civil suit against Kroenke, the Rams, and the NFL, claiming the league broke its own relocation rules by the Rams moving and alleging breach of contract and fraud.
Why that money?
Well, look, the reason they settled the suit for $790 million is not because the city of St. Louis is entitled to $790 million breaking that lease. It's because they didn't want disclosure. They didn't want all their other emails and text messages and everything out there in the public forum, not just about this, but about everything. So this is essentially hush money. But look, it's part of it. It's part of kind of corporate America. Do I think that they acted together and colluded to get out of St. Louis so they get to a better market in L.A.? There's a race for L.A.? Yes. Is it really worth $790 million? No. And look, St. Louis, you can act like you're innocent here. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe they did this. It's like, you stole the Rams to begin with.
Small.
Oh, I forgot about that.
No, man.
That is not accurate.
From old Anaheim Stadium. And here's another note. You probably know more about this stuff than I do, Doug. But
yes.
The St. Louis Post-Dispatch newspaper reported that the law firm that the city of St. Louis used, ironically named, I'm not making this up, Dowd, Bennett, Bargett, Deutsch, and Blitz will receive 35% of the settlement. So that law firm, for their work on the case,
yep,
they make $276.5 million.
Right.
If you need me, I'll be on a beach somewhere.
Right.
And anytime you call that law office.
Right.
Jeez.
Right.
Wonder if they need an intern.
Right.
Right.
I mean,
the interns don't make any money, dude.
Okay.
They do it. Dowd, Bennett, Bargett, Deutsch, and Blitz, I'll tell you that. Elsewhere, it was reported by Dan Pompey of The Athletic that Chicago Bears chairman George McCaskey addressed Bears players and coaches today and told them there was no truth to the report that head coach Matt Nagy will be fired after Thursday's game against the Lions.
Yeah, I reported yesterday. I talked to somebody in the Bears organization, and none of it was that was not something that had been discussed within the building in terms of losing the job. Doesn't mean he keeps his job the rest of the year. Doesn't mean he keeps his job after the year. Just means that hadn't been discussed. That was that's like Patch.com. It's not like the New York, I guess the New York Times story is being disputed, but that is not. We don't usually, we go Adam Schefter, then Patch.com, right?
Finish him.
After this, I think Patch Adams will have more credibility with NFL reporting. Yeah, you know what? If there's a power outage three blocks from where I live, then I trust Patch.com.
That's what they do. Are you not entertained?
They report on local neighborhood news, I'm just saying.
That's pretty cool.
Somebody's double parked outside my house.
That's so true.
.com.
Busy day for the NFC North, as we've been detailing throughout the afternoon. Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers telling reporters in a Zoom news conference this afternoon that he has a fractured toe, denying a Wall Street Journal report that he had a condition called COVID toe. And on the Zoom video news conference, he even held up his bare foot to the camera to prove that he had no lesions on his toes. And in case you missed it, here is how it sounded when he did it.
So if I have enough room on this camera, let me see if I can. Oh, there's no lesions whatsoever. Oh, what a surprise. No, that's actually called disinformation, when you perpetuate false information about an individual. I have a fractured toe. No, I never heard of COVID toe before.
And in a related story, Doug, I'm actually not making this up. As of about 15 minutes ago, Rex Ryan was trending on Twitter. I'm not making this up. As of 15 minutes ago.
Because of toes, of course. That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not accurate.
Glad I spent 4 years diligently studying under a Pulitzer Prize winner at journalism school.
Rex Ryan.
Okay, the New Orleans Saints have ruled out Alvin Kamara for tomorrow's game against the Buffalo Bills with a knee injury. They also listed running back Mark Ingram as questionable, also with a knee injury. Star tackle Ryan Ramczyk will be out of the lineup for the Saints as well tomorrow against the Bills.
Cannot win with him.
Can't do it. So who's out? So the Saints don't have who?
They don't have Alvin Kamara. We're waiting to find out about Mark Ingram at running back. Ryan Ramczyk, outstanding offensive tackle, is out as well for the Saints. And defensive end Marcus Davenport, defensive end Tano Passanio out as well. Ankle injury.
That's a lot. that's a lot.
Maybe I should save time by saying who actually is going to play.
Yes, that's a better one.
For the Saints next time.
Everybody's out for the Saints.
And a final item here, a real happy ending to this one. The Vikings, as we've been detailing throughout the day, announcing defensive end Everson Griffin eventually came out of his home without incident, now getting the care that he needs after early this morning. Griffin made multiple disturbing social media posts claiming that someone was trying to kill him. He had refused to come out of his home throughout the day. This all started around 3 o'clock in the morning. He eventually, though, came out of his home without incident around 1:30 Central Time this afternoon.
It's not the first time he's had a mental health episode. I guess the question becomes, how mentally healthy does he need to be to play for the Vikings? He won't play this weekend, there's no question. Does he ever play again? Is it something the medication and therapy can... It's scary. It's scary, but it's very real. He's not the only human being. There shouldn't be any taboo towards getting treatment, but you start waving guns around on social media, it's a cry for help, but it's also telling people that the situation is far more dire than anyone would want you to believe. Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
Well, I'm a big Thanksgiving guy. I don't know about you guys. I'm huge on it. I do. The idea of giving thanks, like, that's really kind of all most people want, right? Is a little respect for their hard work, which we can characterize as giving thanks. So I'm all for it. I'm with it. I think it's fantastic. Right? Thanksgiving should be about that. Should be about giving thanks. So thank you, John Ramos, for all your hard work and the laughter on a daily basis. Thank you, Jason Stewart. You've been with the show for a couple months. It's completely changed and added to the show, which was good before you, but it'll be good. And thank you to Isaac Lohenkron and Dan Beyer, who's sitting there. Thank you to all of you for listening. Drive safe. I'll be with you tomorrow on the Dan Patrick Show. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.